Maps of the time suggest the far bank was an island, and another channel of the creek ran on the other side, filled in since then. Cochran's Mill crossed the creek onto this side from the island. You might be standing inside it. Some evidence says Cornwallis stayed in the home of John Dobbin, facing the creek on that farther bank. The house was moved after the war, but existed until 1939. As described by people who saw it in later years, it was a story and a half, with three dormer windows across the front and also the back. The piazza, or porch, extended across the front and was enclosed with balusters very thin and graceful. There was a large paneled entrance doorway and floor-length windows. A visible brick foundation at this location enclosed a full basement. The British began foraging for food and clothing, but had little success. An 1854 pastor who collected stories from people alive during the war claims the town baker, Lewis Bowell, made a clever escape. Bowell hides inside one of his empty barrels upstairs. Apparently, his supplies had been evacuated. While the British are searching, they happen to pick up the barrel and send it down the stairs with a kick. On hitting a wall at the bottom, the barrel breaks open and Bowell emerges. At that point, the stunned British just leave empty-handed. That story illustrates the Army's desperate straits. Cornwallis writes that they had but little provision and no forage. The army was barefooted, and there is the utmost want of necessaries of every kind, and I was embarrassed with about 400 sick and wounded. These considerations made me determined to march down to Wilmington. He had assumed supplies could be sent from Wilmington by river. Only upon arriving did he realize, navigation of the Cape Fear River to Wilmington is impracticable, for the distance by water is upwards of 100 miles, the breadth seldom above 100 yards, the banks high, and the inhabitants on each side generally hostile. In other words, any supply boats would be slow-moving ducks for Patriot snipers. Also frustrated were his hopes for aid from Tories, a problem plaguing his entire North Carolina campaign. As he wrote to the overall British commander in North America, Sir Henry Clinton, the inhabitants rode into camp, shook me by the hand, said they were glad to see us and to hear that we had beat Greene, and then rode home again, for I could not get 100 men to stay with us. Local Tories do bring some supplies, though, and some take advantage to destroy Whig property. Some of the British wounded die and are buried somewhere in town. On Sunday, the army marches down the same route taken by the Highlander army, but Cornwallis is not left without paying for Cross Creek's hospitality. Colonel James Emmett, the Liberty Point signer whose regiment has been shadowing Cornwallis, reports to Greene on an outbreak of smallpox caught from the British, and a camp follower leaves behind a baby girl in a widow's home. As an adult, she was noted on the 1850 census as left by Cornwallis. Take the walking instructions under Loyalists' Raid and Leaders Assemble, then listen to its audio clip.